Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and minds gathered here this day be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, there are a few different ways to characterize this morning's scripture passage from the Gospel of Luke, which Gordon just read. It is known as the healing of the 10 lepers, the gratitude and faith of the Samaritan leper, the story of the ungrateful nine, and the other good Samaritan. And for as many things as are written to explain this story and what takes place, there are as many questions that are left unanswered. Why was there only one Samaritan in this story? Because Jesus was right by Samaria, you would expect that there would be more. Do the other nine presume healing to be their due because they are Israelites, the ones who are considered faithful? Was the healing only truly completed by the action of returning and praising God? After all, even Jesus asks, were not 10 made clean? But the other nine, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? There are many themes that run throughout the stories of the Bible, for certain, and one that keeps coming back to us story after story is that of the actions of God that come through the least expected. Clearly, Jesus had expected the other nine lepers, those who were assumed to be good Jewish folks, to come back to offer thanks and praise for the cure they were afforded through the instruction of Jesus Christ. And yet the one person who does come back is perhaps the least expected one. Certainly, there is something to be learned from the Samaritan who takes a few steps back to give thanks and praise for the healing that had taken place. After all, there are explanations throughout the Bible of the extent to which people who were diagnosed with leprosy were cast out of their communities, how they were to behave in their infirmity, and the lengths to which they had to go in order to be accepted back into their communities as well. One commentator shared, "In those days, sufferers with contagious skin diseases were like the living dead. They couldn't go into villages or have any normal contact with others. No one could be poorer than these social outcasts. So Jesus saw the 10 of them and told them to show themselves to the priests." In other words, he tells them to go and ask for a certificate of clean health from the authorities so they could again be members of their community. You see, the priest was the person who diagnosed the condition and named the person affected ceremonially unclean. And I must admit that I'm happy that the pastorate no longer has that in our job description. And the purification ritual involved shaving off all of their hair, bathing in water, washing clothes, living outside their tent for 7 days, as well as guilt offerings and other sacrifices. It was no easy job. So here we have these 10 people cured of their disease. That is not to say that they did not have a long way to go in order to be accepted back into their communities, but it was certainly two steps forward for them. Not only were they cured, but they had the blessing of the priests who named them clean. But only the Samaritan takes two steps back to say thank you. And he doesn't do this in a quiet manner, coming back to Jesus and whispering the words thank you to him. Rather, he comes back in the middle of the road, giving thanks and praise to Jesus at the top of his lungs, screaming as he came along. So what is it that prompts him to come back? What is it that helps any of us to decide whether we need to say thank you or not? What is it that keeps us from saying thank you every now and again? In his reflection, 10 Lepers Healed, Brian Kershisnik writes the following. I could have thanked you, but my dinner was burning. My kids were crying. My business needed me. My very favorite, I didn't have any note cards. As if you can only say thank you in writing. I didn't want to embarrass you. I thought you knew. I was tired. I was so excited. I forgot. I wonder why the foreigner did return and the others did not, Krishnasnik continues. It occurred to me that when all were suffering from a common disease, they were bonded by their outcast status. When they were all healed, the nine returned to their life, their ethnic and religious life. The foreigner only had Jesus at that point. He could not merge so easily into his old life, and perhaps in Jesus he had found his true home. We know from the other stories in the Bible, namely the original Good Samaritan, that the Samaritans were outsiders. They were not accepted by the Israelites because they did not follow the rules and laws of the Jewish faith. But this story speaks to us once again about Jesus' universal mission and acceptance. Samaritan or not, the man who came back was recognized as a person of faith. Your faith has made you well, says Jesus. The Samaritan had found a home in his faith in God through the actions and words of Jesus Christ. As Michelle Bruzace writes in her Reflections for Sojourners magazine, spiritual wholeness depends not on birthright, but on our response to God's grace. There is no one outside God's invitation to new life. All that is required is our consent. All that is required is our consent. Our consent to let God work in and through our lives. So once we have given that consent, once we have realized what God does within us and through us, we should think about taking two steps back. Two steps back allow us time for reflection on the things that we are thankful for. We are able to take some time in reflection and worship, for it is right and good to give God thanks and praise for the many blessings of our lives, blessings that are both large and small alike. And worship does not have to happen within the confines of these walls. We can pray to God, offering our prayers, lifting up our concerns to God, as well as offering God our thanks and praise no matter where we are. The best example that I know of this is my Aunt Barbara. My Aunt Barbara has only been my aunt for a year and a half now, but I have known her since I was in high school because we went to the same church together in Naugatuck. And I have known her well since we participated in an adult education program together called Unwrapping Your Spiritual Gifts. You see, when we were in that program together, my Aunt Barbara was preparing to go through a divorce. She was preparing to raise two kids on her own. Her sister had just passed away because of cancer, and her brother-in-law was just diagnosed. But despite all of the things that seemed to be going wrong in Barbara's life, she gave thanks and praise to God for waking her up in the morning, for giving her two beautiful children, for giving her a community of support and care that was with her through her adversity. And I must admit that at first I didn't believe it. I thought she was fake. I couldn't believe that anyone who is experiencing those kinds of issues could possibly be that thankful. But to this day, that is who my Aunt Barbara is. She gives thanks for everything that happens in her life. The most recent story that I heard was that she and my uncle moved in with her two kids to a new house, and they bought a king-size bed. And my Aunt Barbara thinks that that king-size bed is the best thing in the world, so good that every night before she goes to bed, she gives thanks to God for the king-size bed. So she realizes that her faith has made her whole, that her faith has given her a reason to give thanks and praise to God. And she worships God every chance and everywhere that she can. Just as the cured leper came worshiping God in the middle of the road along the way on Jesus' journey, there is nothing to stop us from worshiping God no matter where we are on our life's journey. It is a gift that we have this place and this community to come to for our formal worship, to spend time with one another in learning, service, prayer, and praise. Yet worship is something that does not just happen amidst the rituals of Sunday morning. God is not only worshiped externally with songs, offerings, communal prayers. The best way we can worship God is in the conversion of our own lives to a way of moral and ethical behavior, a turning to God in thought, word, and deed, and with an attitude of gratitude, like my Aunt Barbara's. This type of worship requires that not only do we pay attention to the decisions we are faced with in our everyday lives and the challenges and blessings that come our way as we take steps forward as Christian people in a world where we are constantly faced with competing demands. It also requires that we take time for reflection and service and prayer, that we take two steps back every now and again to come face to face with God. In the case of the 10 lepers, all were made well, but the Samaritan's expression of gratitude showed the truth of his transformation, a transformation to faithfulness and thanks living, a transformation to a true belief in God through the works and words of Jesus Christ. Now, our concern with taking a step back and offer God our thanks and praise begs the question of whether God needs for us to do that. In a reflection on today's scripture, pastor and theologian Anthony Robinson wrote the following: "Perhaps God doesn't, strictly speaking, need our thanks, but we do need to give or express that thanks as a way of learning that the world does not revolve around us, that there is an other. We can spend time in reflection and thanksgiving, but the ultimate reason in doing so is to deepen our relationship with God, with our Creator. And deepening that relationship does require a bit of work on our part. There is no question about that. Just as the cure that Jesus promised to the lepers did not come in an instant as they stood before him, all that we ask of God does not come to us in an instant either. We must work at being true people of faith. Just as the lepers had to go out on a limb, take the challenge of entering the town from which they had been outcast, once again to speak with the priests, so too do we have to go out on a limb every now and again for our faith, standing up for what it is that we believe in when we live in a world that believes so many different things, including that our God does not even exist. Another thing that this story points to is the difference between being cured and being healed. That is one of the things that we struggled with in my group who did clinical pastoral education together, working as intern chaplains at Griffin Hospital here in Connecticut. For certainly, we saw people every day who had all different kinds of ailments, some for which there was no cure. But that does not mean that they could not be healed. The other 9 lepers were perhaps cured of their afflictions, but we do not know whether they were healed, whether they returned to right relationship with others and with God. We do know that the other Good Samaritan was healed, that he no longer had to live with his ailment, but that he also was able to give thanks and praise for the change that meant in his life. In stories like this, we see people who are healed. We see people who have misconceptions about God. God can cure me of this dreaded disease, or God can change the things that are going wrong in my life, gain all new, genuine knowledge of God and God's healing power. God can change me from the inside out. We also see people who, for no other reason than having faith in God, gain the strength they need to command people they would never dream of, including Jesus Christ himself. The 10 lepers did not look at Jesus and say, "Dear Jesus, would you please, please have mercy on us?" They shouted to him from the side of the road, "Have mercy on us." Even more surprising than the unexpected ways and people that God uses to teach us the lessons that we should live by in our lives, and even to heal us in our own brokenness, is the idea that God might use us to share healing love with others. We may just be the vessels through which God speaks words of redemption or works miracles. Just because God is working in our lives each day in smaller and more unexpected ways, God's work is no less amazing, and God's love is no less strong or sincere. And that is something to be truly thankful for. As God takes two steps forward to meet us where we are with the things that we need in our lives, things like breath, life, people, and community, we are called to take two steps back every now and again, to give thanks to God who has afforded us more blessings than we may ever know. Let us be ever mindful of those things with which we are blessed. Let us thank God for the good news that exists even this day in a world and speaks to our hearts and minds. Let us give thanks to God for the healing power that can mean change and transformation for each and every one of us. Amen.